The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Janelle Tucker with KMCH Manchester and Joe Benedict with Keokuk Daily Gate City. Janelle, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Sure. Hello, Senator. It's been a busy 2 weeks in the presidential campaign cycle. Both parties are seeing momentum for different reasons. Just wondering your thoughts on the presidential race at this time now that Kamala Harris has had a week under her belt out on the campaign trail.
Well, there's great enthusiasm in the Democratic Party. She's a new face. Not any questions about is she able to get through the next 4 years like with Biden. And it's a big boost for her, but I think it's a temporary boost. A temporary boost because nobody's focused on her record. So let me just name one thing, a very generic thing. On these indexes that show her in the 94th percentile of being one of the most liberal members of the Congress of the United States, and some people over the weekend were saying is even more liberal than the socialist member of the Democrat Party, Bernie Sanders. So compare that to Chuck Grassley that shows up on the index as bipartisan number 11 out of 100. So you see a difference between where Chuck Grassley stands and where she stands just on the liberal conservative continuum. I think that says more than anything else, and I don't think people know that. And it's obviously going to be up to all the people that want Trump elected to make sure that record is known. It could be like she's against enforcing the law at the border that you can't enter our country without our permission. So she's for an open border. And she's part of this 19% increase in the cost of living since Biden became president of the United States. I don't think people thought about that, and I think that's going to make a difference. But right now, she's benefiting from the unanimity of the unanimity of the Democrat Party and the big amount of money that's coming in. Joe in Keokuk.
Just out today, President Biden was suggesting term limits to the Supreme Court justices, as well as an ethics code. Do you have any comments on that idea?
Yeah, on both of them. First of all, I believe, I haven't heard any constitutional lawyer answer this question for me, but I believe that it takes a constitutional amendment to have term limits for members of the Supreme Court, because the Constitution says they're appointed for life. On the ethics part of it, it'd be more appropriate for me to answer your question a couple years from now, because what I don't know, but I hope it works out, that a year ago in March, I don't think it was this March, a year ago in March, the Supreme Court on a with unanimous voice of all nine of them, said that they put out new ethics standards, and I don't think we should judge whether or not that's made a big difference. I think it will make a big difference in the reporting that people have to do for if they take a trip with somebody or if they write a book or stuff like that as extra income, which is according to these rules, just a matter of reporting it, not that there's anything wrong with it. And then you got the usual responsibility of a justice to recuse themselves when they're when they have a conflict of interest. And I don't want to turn that over to somebody else because we only have nine Supreme Court justices. Just think. If in Iowa we got five or six district court judges, if one of them has an ethical a problem and has to recuse himself, somebody else can step in. But you need nine members of the Supreme Court all the time. So recusal should be well thought out and only done when there is a real conflict of interest. And I'm willing to leave that up to the Supreme Court. One other thing, though, before I go back to Janelle, is the fact that I think that all this stuff you're hearing about, whether Biden's saying about term limits or ethics, it's just a crusade on the part of the liberals in this town to discredit the Supreme Court because they're getting decisions they don't like. Just like for 30 years before now, I were hearing a lot of decisions I didn't like, but the Democrats in this town are always planning on a Supreme Court that'll deliver them victories that they can't get through the Congress of the United States. And the Supreme Court's not supposed to legislate. It's supposed to make decisions on fact and law and a specific case.
In watching the Republican convention 2 weeks ago, Republicans seem very united in their support for Donald Trump. Is that what you're seeing and experiencing personally in Washington?
Well, maybe a little bit less than Washington, D.C., because don't forget Washington, D.C. is 92% registered Democrats. But within the Congress of a whole, I'm seeing within our Republican caucus of 49 members of the Senate, which is about the only way I got to judge your question, the answer is yes.
All right. Iowa's 6-week abortion ban is about to go into effect. Are you happy with each state having their own laws, or would you prefer a national law?
Each state doing it. And that's why ever since Roe v. Wade, I've been pro-life, pro-family, pro-woman. Except for the rape, incest, and life of a mother, I've been real consistent. I almost totally consistent on this point of view and not having taxpayers pay for abortions. So my answer to your question is this way, going back almost to my first days in the Congress of the United States, and that's decades ago, you know, I've been part of a constitutional amendment because we thought that was the only way we could overturn Roe v. Wade. We never thought the courts would do it for us. And that constitutional amendment would have been returning it to the states. So the fact that Iowa can do something different than Missouri and New York's going to do something different than almost any state in the Midwest, I think it fits into the heterogeneity of our population. And the vastness of our country, if we don't have one mold poured in Washington, D.C. on almost any issue, but particularly on abortion.
I read last week that you were named a champion of Main Street, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, that would be basically small business. And I think all I can say is that about 60% of the jobs are created by small business. Now, that's not every small business is not a Main Street business, but you look towards the entrepreneurship of the United States, the fact that our economic system promotes entrepreneurship, and Janelle, you or anybody else can be almost anything you want to be, and the idea is to support them. Now, in this particular instance, I get this reward from the this award from the National Retail Federation, because now this doesn't happen maybe in the little towns of Iowa, but go back to San Francisco for sure. Their prosecutor won't prosecute anybody stealing unless you steal more than $975 worth of goods out of a store. So it's just like get out of jail free card that they operate in San Francisco. Well, there's an organized crime syndicate that benefits from this. And so I am the lead author of the organized retail crime bill, and that's specifically why they gave me the award, although I think I've had a 40-year history in the United States Senate of supporting small business. And we have a figure of $1 billion that Iowa businesses lost due to organized retail crime. Joe, you're going to have the last question.
All right. I've gotten several emails from your office about you looking into fingerprint and DNA collection from those crossing the border. Have you had any response to your inquiries? And does it have anything to do with personnel shortages at the border?
Well, I suppose you could say when we have 8 to 10 million people entering the country illegally under this administration, that we do have personnel problems. But this is a case of the Border Patrol, and then follow on, the Border Patrol arrests these people, unaccompanied children, so their parents aren't with them. They enter the country. They may enter the country on their own volition, but probably they're the tool of the syndicates to get families that are unrelated to them into the country by making our government believe that if you got a kid with you, it's your kid. So DNA is very important to keep track of who's coming to the country, whether or not they're committing crimes. And the law says that they're supposed to take DNA on everybody coming to the country, and they're only doing it about 30% of the time. So they aren't doing what needs to be done. And I've been tracking the issue since 2018, and it's gotten worse under the Biden border surge. Okay, thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thanks, Janelle and Joe, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.